And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Want to thank everybody for joining us. It's 1:07 in the afternoon, and it's a little bit on the chilly side outside for this time of the year. Feels more like early October with temperatures in the 60s. That's it. There's even a few 50s still where it's raining. Areas around, let's say, Fingal and down to the south towards Leonard. Those areas received a little bit of thunderstorm activity this afternoon, and they're still in the 50s. Still a little bit of thundershower activity on radar. So just kind of hit and miss showers for the rest of the afternoon. Nothing severe, nothing too strong, but if you get caught under one of those, could get some brief heavy rain. Areas around Nome to the southwest of the valley getting a little bit of shower and thundershower activity down towards Morton. Other than that, though, it's pretty dry throughout much of the area. I believe we have Justin and Bridget with us this afternoon. Guys, how are you doing today?
The party you're trying to connect to has been disconnected. Please hang up and try again.
All right. Well, you know, we'll try. How are you feeling, man? Are you getting over the
I'm here. Are you doing well?
Getting over the one niner there?
Oh, we're getting over it. It's just a lingering little thing at this point.
Good. Good. Well, take care of yourself, rest up over the weekend, and if you're still sick Monday, stay home.
Oh, we got all sorts of activities planned for the weekend, so not much resting.
All right. Well, the good news is for the weekend, the weather is going to improve. We'll still have a few clouds.
My kind of weekend, Ian.
Well, I like it a little hotter. It is August, I mean, but we're going to have temperatures in the 70s all weekend, which isn't bad. We'll see more sunshine as the weekend progresses, more sun on Sunday than Saturday. But both days pretty nice because the winds are going to be lighter, so should be a pretty ideal weekend to get out and about, that's for sure. And there's not too many weekends left before, you know, fall hits. Took a look at the LRC through the end of September, both temperature-wise and precip-wise. And if you want to know what the outlook is from the LRC, you could log on to our Facebook page and kind of gives you a day-by-day analysis of when we could see some increases in precip, temperatures, all that good stuff. So, and after end of September, yeah, that's right, the new LRC cycle will start in early October. Really looking forward to seeing what the new cycle is going to hold this year. Last year, pretty uneventful, at least in terms of snowfall around here. So we'll see. October and November should be pretty interesting. Hopefully a little more active this year. Although most people are probably Indeed. Saying, forget it.
Only time will tell. I guess I want mine for a mild fall. Last fall was nice. Last winter was nice. The only thing that would have made last winter a little better is if we would have had like two of those 2 to 3 footers of snow dropping out of the sky. That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe this year. I highly doubt this winter is going to be anything like last winter. It's hard to put back-to-back winters like that together. But, hey, you never know. I mean, we could...
Hey, weather do be crazy, man. I mean, what was it, out west today or yesterday, the first frost advisory issued in August out of Bismarck?
Right? That's crazy. I did see...
What happened to global warming?
Global what?
Haba huba.
I believe we have Bridget with us now.
Good. I am. Apparently, my audio there was a little chopped up, but... Good news, where you were mentioning those thunderstorms down close to Fingal and so forth, even south of that. I can see them to the north of me. I am just south of Oaks, North Dakota, on my way down to South Dakota, and it really is very isolated showers. Most of the day is sunshiny, and it's only about 68 degrees down here, so not usual August temperatures for us.
No, not. This is normal for early October. So, and somebody, I had a couple emails asking, is this record territory in terms of either?
No.
Yeah, it's not. No. Our record lows in the morning, the last few days have been right around 40, and record cold highs are in the low 60s. So not quite, but definitely unseasonably cool for this time of the year, for sure.
That's all right. We need it. We had too much heat there for a while. The humidity was starting to get to me. I was getting all like, it's so humid. And then we get the cool, dry air. We get a nice breeze. Man, I was walking around outdoors yesterday in a t-shirt. oh, it felt so good. Just like 62, a stiff 30-mile-an-hour wind.
Come on.
It was just refreshing, dude.
Tell that to the farmers that are, you know, that want the hotter weather for the corn. They're probably throwing stuff at you right now.
Corn's fine. Let's just move
on.
You're
the guy who wants the big yields, so going to want to push your corn there, still. Pal.
Corn needs a break, too. I'm telling you. It was getting a little hot, too. It was like, Justin, tone it down a little bit. I'm like, I got you, corn. So I turned it down a little bit, and the corn's like, thanks, bro.
Well, he's been.
I like your optimism for this, but you're evidently that fever. That's been a little tough on you.
That cough medicine's kicking in because he's talking to corn now. This is great. This should be a real fun show.
The weirdest part about it is that the corn is talking back.
Wow.
Actually, you should talk to your plants. That's actually great health. Now, if you're going to talk to every individual corn plant in 20 acres, you best get started. You got a big project ahead of you.
Well, we just kind of talk to them, you know, as a whole. And then they try and tell me what they want, but I make them elect representatives to tell me what the masses want, and then I just do what that one tells me to do, or at least asks for.
Late night TV is a lot on you. Anywho.
It's a whole government setup with the cornfield. I'm telling you what.
Oh, good night.
So
I
got a weather question yesterday for you guys, and that was, if we look at our LRC cycle, and we are in a 45-day cycle is what you've said, does that mean 45 days from now we can almost guarantee ourselves a frost, or are we out of sync somehow? Are things resetting? What's going on?
What's 45 days from now?
I hear typing.
That's September 23rd. Out west, yeah, for sure.
I would say
that's the week after Big Iron.
Yeah.
We'll probably be dealing with that that Canadian high that'll drop down. And depending exactly how things line up with the heat dome down to our south, if that's still set in place, it might just dislodge it north of the Great Lakes. If that heat dome weakens, which by September I imagine it probably will, that would be a chance of it spilling back here into the Dakotas, unless there's something in the way, some form of blocking in the atmosphere that deflects it a different direction. So I would need a little analysis to answer that, but that's what my early thoughts would be on it, Bridget.
Okay, so then the next weather-related question, there's a hurricane and its effects over on the East Coast, et cetera. Probably been a little more mild than most, considering hasn't been a lot of questions and concerns raised about it. Even though that's east of us, can that somehow backlash onto our weather where we're at when those hurricane systems happen that far to our east? Any thoughts?
Justin, no. You want to take it or?
No.
Okay, that's
my answer. No, it doesn't affect us.
Okay.
That whole system, was it Hugo? That was a wreck for us because that brought so much moisture to the north.
But what it will do, like, so those storms that are the hurricanes, you know, if they enter the Gulf and once they get up on the East Coast, they will stall all weather through the rest of the country until they get offshore. So pattern we're stuck in when those storms do hit the bigger ones, especially when they do hit the East Coast, those will stall our weather patterns here in the Central Plains. But they don't. That's not terribly long, though.
Yeah,
no, a couple days. Indirectly, that's how it affects us. Typically, occasionally you'll get one that.
So really,
occasionally you'll get
minor
one that
inconvenience.
Rips, yeah, occasionally you'll get one that rips into the Gulf and goes due north. But by the time
you get remnant moisture,
yeah, you get remnant moisture from it. But that's rare that it gets this far north.
All right. Well, thanks for answering all my weather questions, gentlemen. Much appreciated.
Anything else?
No problem. Keep
not
coming.
Anything else, but before I lose any service here for a short amount of time, hello from Hecla, South Dakota, by the way. Just wanted to say that our guest today is going to be Angie Johnson. Angie is with NDSU. She is our farm and ranch safety specialist. Folks, get ready to dial up because Angie has great answers for so many of the questions that you send us, especially as we're heading towards harvest and we want to talk more about safety, whether it's with balers, combines, trucks, hang equipment, and so much more. So we don't want to miss out on the opportunity for you to call us on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701 3 9,000. And also, do not forget, next Wednesday, Teacher Appreciation Lunch, free lunch at our studios. You can join us from 11 to 2. There'll be food off of food trucks, bouncy houses for kids, games, and more. Thank you to NDSCS, Meets by John and Wayne, Prosperity Health Pharmacy, MSUM, Glass Dr. Otto, Welton's Tire Service, Games to Go, and Capstone Classical Academy for all they do to bring this forward. They do great things.
Right on. Appreciate that, Bridget. And right on cue goes the South Dakota Cellular Network. Bridget, we'll have to strengthen that connection when you come back. But again, that phone number is 701-293-9000 if you want to join in on the conversation. Angie Johnson, NDSU Farm and Safety Specialist, will be joining us next.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus. Want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. Temperature's a little chilly out there, still hanging in the 60s most areas, and a few showers and thunder showers on radar south of Fingal, stretching down towards Morton areas and moving southward. So a little bit of shower, thunder shower activity in parts of the area, but most of us should remain rather dry for most of the afternoon. Well, we've got a special guest. She's no stranger to this show, Angie Johnson, NDSU Farm and Ranch Safety Specialist. Angie, welcome back. How's your day going?
Oh, it's going great. It's a Friday. It is awesome weather outside. I can't complain.
Great. Good deal. Good deal. Well, I'm hoping you didn't get a chance to watch our Here We Grow latest video clip when Bridget and I were out on the farm, and I kind of got my hand stuck in one of the combine rotors, so it wasn't fun. Probably something we shouldn't be doing, but luckily Bridget was there to save the day, right, Bridget?
Hey, Dean, that was a planter, not a combine.
Oh, sorry. Okay. See?
Yeah.
They're very similar, Bridget. Come on.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, Angie, for people that are new to the program or just listening today, explain a little bit what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the Farm and Ranch Safety Coordinator Specialist for the state of North Dakota through NDSU Extension. And so oftentimes I'll travel across the state doing programming with county-based extension agents, really focusing on how do we keep our farmers and ranchers safe and their families safe when working on the farm. And so oftentimes, I know I've talked on this show, we have a really strong youth farm safety program where we offer farm safety camps throughout the state, but we also do a ton of adult programming as well, and how we really focus on not just, you know, developing safety habits, but just understanding and having respect for the equipment, the livestock, and the other components of agriculture that we work with, because we are such a dangerous industry to be involved in.
Now, Angie, do you find that there's more injuries in planting season or harvesting season or somewhere in between?
Oh, man. And, you know, you guys were talking about it earlier. The weather really dictates a lot of that. And so it just depends what type of harvest season we're having. If conditions are going to be wet, we definitely, you know, some of the data will show that we're going to see more injuries and possibly fatalities just based on having wet harvest conditions, because that when it's wet, you just add a whole nother element of unpredictability to the situation. So adding mud and adding wet grain and just really challenging conditions to work with. So I would say it depends, but definitely when it comes to traffic related incidences, you know, fall is there's a lot going on in the fall that includes combines. Well, even right now, a lot of sprayers going out there, you know, spraying down small grains to get ready for harvest, and so the semis and trucks, and so definitely harvest is one of those key times.
Now what in terms of percentage, and I don't know if you have this available, but what percentage of accidents or injuries are due to just being too tired? I mean,
That's a great question, and unfortunately, we don't have that quantified, and there's a couple reasons for it, and I know we've talked about it on the past, but I really like to remind the audience, you know, production agriculture. You know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics does keep track of, you know, injuries within agriculture. But we have to remember those statistics are only derived from commercial related ag facilities. So, for example, our commercial grain elevators, you know, any type of injury or fatality that takes place at a commercial elevator, that's kept track of and that's reported and goes through OSHA standards. But the single owner, you know, farm ranch that we typically find in North Dakota isn't under those types of requirements and needs to report per se. And so we just don't have a ton of data that showcases, you know, X amount, you know, that percentage you're looking for. That it just doesn't exist because there isn't really a reporting structure in place for a lot of the operations that we find in our region.
Angie, the last time we had you on, you were doing some safety youth camps and a couple of other different programs as well as an ATV class. How did how'd those programs and lessons go with the youth and the adults that attended as well?
Man, we had a great camp season. I mean, we were pulling in kids from Montana and South Dakota this year. I mean, the word is spreading. People are, you know, whether they're listening to this awesome show or getting their information from somewhere, but the word is spreading about our program. We keep growing. We had full camps again this year. Really good weather. And great partnerships. You know, we've tried to increase getting additional electric co-ops involved to really focus on power line safety, because that's going to be huge coming up this fall with harvest and really tall equipment moving around, including more fire departments. So every kid gets the opportunity to actually pull a fire extinguisher and use it, and instead of just you know, learning about it on a PowerPoint slide, they're actually doing the task. And so they went very, very well this year. And in fact, we're already getting ready this month to start planning for 2025, just because we've had such a overwhelming response and kids want to get on the list for next year.
Right. And what were some of the key things that you guys focused on during these camps?
Yeah, so a big one starts off with just communication. And so really letting the kids understand that throughout the 3 days of camp, that if there's something we ask them to do, you know, if we give them a task or an assignment and they're uncomfortable or don't understand what we've asked them, that they need to tell us and let us know. You know, we're your boss, we're your employer for the week, and so we need to really establish good communication. And that also starts with hand signals, and so really understanding how we communicate with each other when we're in the cab of a tractor and can't always talk. So practicing those hand signals, and then the driving, you know, everybody's favorite part. So our camp is pretty unique and special in that we offer so many opportunities for kids to drive. So we'll have three different tractors, one of which will be hooked up to a mini round baler, where every kid gets to practice hitching that piece of equipment, which includes, you know, putting the pin through the drawbar, you know, attaching it to the tractor, as well as hooking up the hydraulics, the PTO, the power takeoff shaft. And so once they master that concept, then that afternoon, they actually get to take all those skills they learned, you know, inside the cab and through basic driving. They'll actually get to practice making a mini round bale of hay. So engaging that PTO and driving the tractor at the same time. And a lot of them realize how hard it actually is. You know, driving a tractor without any implement is one thing, but now when you're hooked up to a piece of equipment such as a baler, you got to watch behind you, you got to watch in front of you, you've got to listen. If something goes wrong, you need to be ready to hear when there's a failure. And so it was a really good eye-opener for those kids to be able to put all those concepts into practice in a safe environment at our camp. And so we also do skid steer driving. That's been a huge success. We partnered with Bobcat and they helped us really coach and get our agents ready for teaching kids how to safely operate skid steers. And then, of course, partnering with North Dakota Parks and Rec to offer ATV certification. So every single camper gets to go through the 2.5 hour ATV driving course and becomes well aware and well versed of how we operate those machines with our body as an active rider. So we get those kids to do a lot of things that in most programs they would never be able to get to do. But we're pretty proud of how we can make it all happen in just 3 days.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah, Angie, before we go to break here, we've got John on line one with a traffic accident report here in town. John, what can you tell us?
45th Street southbound, just past 17th Avenue in front of the Home Depot there. You're going to lose for sure the one left lane and probably two of the left lanes because we had one that tried to cut across traffic and got T-boned.
Oof.
And it doesn't look like there's any serious injuries, but it looks like it's going to be tied up a while, so you're pretty much going to have the right lane to work with.
All right. All right, John, thank you so much for that report. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. So, yeah, if you're on 45th there, expect some delays with the accident. So, again, thanks a lot, John. And it's at the bottom of the hour, so we've got to pay some bills. But don't go anywhere. If you have any questions for Angie, again, 701-293-9000 is our Red Wing Shoe line. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 134, program number 701-293-9000. Rejoining our conversation with Angie Johnson. That's NDSU Farm and Ranch Safety Specialist. If you got any questions or anything you'd like to add to our conversation, feel free to reach out at any time. Angie, before we went to break there, we're touching on some of the camps and whatnot, but that's not the only program you guys had offered since you've been coming on the show fairly regularly with us, and that was Stop the Bleed was one of the programs you were doing, and the tourniquet kits and whatnot. Have you guys planned on doing more of those? Have you done more? And I guess, what's the plan with that? What's been the feedback post doing those different presentations?
Yeah, great, great question, and I'm glad you brought that up. So we'll actually, we're going to start year two of our grant this month, so we got a three-year grant to be able to offer those Stop the Bleed tourniquet, or Stop the Bleed programs and provide personal tourniquet kits to farm and ranch and rural participants, and so this month, actually next week, we're going to start our planning phase and kick off the fall season and start working with our county-based extension agents on getting those scheduled. We had such an awesome response last year. We easily trained over 300 North Dakotans on Stop the Bleed, and so being able to reach that many rural individuals just within our first year of the program was amazing. Our goal was to get about 250, and we definitely surpassed that, and so we're pretty excited to be able to offer the next year and the second round of the Stop the Bleed program.
So, Angie, it's been awesome to hear all the backstory of what's going on with your safety camps. And just last night, I was at the Root Connections event at Gilby, North Dakota, and a mom was there to tell me that her son actually had attended one of the first camps that you put on. And when she signed him up for it, he said, I don't need to go. I live on the farm. But when he came home, he admitted that he had learned a lot, and it was totally worth his time. So kudos to you for putting on a great event that really is well-meaning to all those students.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, oftentimes we don't always get to hear that positive feedback. And so to hear from a parent like that, we appreciate those types of success stories. We actually had a dad reach out, and his son participated this year. And I didn't realize this, but the FFA chapters, they still do a tractor driving contest. And so his son had participated at the local level and made it on to the state level because of his what he had learned from farm safety camp. And so it's fun to be able to be a part of these young people's lives in such an impactful way and to put those skills right to work. And ultimately, my goal is if we can save one life, if we can prevent one injury by helping these young kids develop good habits right away, That's a huge success in my book. And if that's how I can make a difference in this world, then by gosh, I'm going to do it. So I really appreciate that feedback.
So Angie, it's hang season, and we know that there's still a chance for folks to be baling straw off the combine once they get done with their small grains or et cetera. All right, safety first. There are always reports of baler fires and injuries. If you were to think of your probably, I can't even say top three, I'm going to say top five reminders as we're in haying season, what would those be to be safe for the coming season?
Absolutely, yeah. So number one, anytime if you're going to be, if you need to get inside the bale chamber, if you've got a baler, round baler with belts, if you need to get in that chamber to untwist a belt, make sure you're locking that tailgate, right? Lock that tailgate. There's every round baler's got that feature. And so basically what that does is that prevents that tailgate from falling on top of you. And before you even do that, shut down that tractor and, you know, shut down the machine. Don't even let it, I don't care, I don't want it idling. Shut it down so there is no mistake, so that PTO, that power takeoff, does not engage while you're, you know, untwisting belts or performing some maintenance or even just greasing your baler, for example. So shut that machine down, and then if you need to go inside, make sure you lock that tailgate so it does not fall on top of you while you're inside that chamber. And, you know, you talked about baler fires a little bit. You know, the biggest cause or issue with that in our round balers is these bearings go out, right? So they're constantly making multiple revolutions, you know, thousands at a time, and they wear out, they break. They're little ball bearings inside, and it's that's normal wear and tear. So check on them, right? Get an infrared thermometer, point that thermometer at the bearings on your baler, you know, every now and then when you take a stretch break, and just monitor that temperature. And if you start to see a bearing temperature increase, that's a pretty good warning sign that you probably have a bearing going out that needs to be replaced. And so get in front of it instead of waiting for a spark to happen, because everything that we're baling, especially when we're dealing with straw, it's dirty, it's dusty, and it's dry. So we've got extremely flammable situations, or products, I should say, that can accumulate within that baler and cause a really quick fire just for a bearing that's going out of place. So if I had to say my top three right there is shut that machine down, lock the tailgate, and keep an eye on those bearings.
Great advice. And we had a caller that called in. This was a couple of weeks ago, and I don't remember her name just because we have so many people that call in on a regular basis. But she was talking about how the corn is getting to a height now to where it's hard to see sometimes in certain areas and intersections. Cars coming in the other the other road at intersections, because sometimes there's a two-way or a four-way out in the country. Any advice on with crops getting to a height where you can't see around the corners and blind approaches, as well as different types of equipment coming in or out of the fields just on general roads?
Yeah, this is a great topic, and I'm so glad you brought this up, and I'm glad you have people calling in. Yeah, it's really important this time of year. We've got to have situational awareness. So just understanding that with crop growing conditions, you know, changing, and our crops changing and reaching maturity, it means that those intersections are going to be really, really challenging. You're not going to be able to see over top of it. And, you know, right now, specifically just as an example where I live, it's been really dry. These gravel roads are just complete powder. And so you need to be, it can be tough vision wise, just if you're following somebody and can't see. So in terms of intersections, especially on gravel roads, you need to treat them as though there's a stop sign, even if there isn't. And don't just assume that oncoming traffic, that they're going to stop or slow down. You need to be the defensive driver and take that initiative and give yourself more time. You know, if you're in a hurry, then maybe you're going to have to start leaving earlier, whatever the situation may be. But we do have to treat those intersections with a lot more respect, because the blind spot in it is just so much different now with that tall corn in place.
Right. And I know that we're going to talk Oh, go ahead, Bridget.
Oh, no, Justin, I thought that was excellent. And I think after you ask your question, we want Angie to touch on, you know, with harvest and trucks getting on the road, just some distance between us and the trucks so we can be careful and not have any further injuries. But please go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to add, Angie, we'll likely have you on again if you're willing to join us here in another month or two, especially with harvest coming up. But I think it's worth hitting on it now, even if we hit on it two or three or four times. When it comes to harvest and different combines and trucks and balers and whatnot going in and out of fields at different approaches, just a reminder to, like Bridget said, give yourself that extra space because a car or a big truck is slowing down. Maybe don't pass them because they might be turning left in the first place. And then as well with all the different, dirt and mud that gets on the road from the beet farms or the beet fields and whatnot, that it can, you know, add a lot of different implications to traveling.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can't stress enough, and I feel like I'm a broken record on your show, so I apologize, but be a defensive driver, you know, and what I mean by that is, you know, earlier you talked about making left-hand turns. We have to remember whether it's a tractor, a combine, a sprayer, a truck, a semi, you know, whatever it may be, whatever that harvest equipment may be, we can't assume they're just going to be stopping or turning at the next intersection. We need to be thinking ahead because those pieces of equipment, they might be looking for their next field approach, right? And so we really need to be watching. So as a motorist, if I'm coming up, up against a tractor, a combine, whatever, a semi, I really am very, very, very hesitant to pass. And I check my surroundings. I look, okay, is this semi going particularly more slow because they're going to get ready to turn into a field approach? And so looking at your surroundings, you know, trying to identify, are they harvesting in the upcoming field? I mean, we're kind of lucky in this part of the state, I think, because we are so flat. We get teased a lot, but I'm glad we are in many ways, because that gives us way more vision when it comes to roadway safety versus the up and down of hills all the time that make it really dangerous to pass in general, let alone pass these types of equipment. And so just making sure that we don't assume that they're just going to turn at the next intersection. They may be slowing down to turn in the approach. And that should be a good reminder to all of our equipment operators, our farmers and ranchers out there, use your turn signals. I can't stress that enough. You know, our newer tractors and machines, they all have them. They all have turn signals. Please use them. Treat it, you know, communicate as if you're in a motor vehicle as well, to let those people behind you and in front of you know what you're going to be doing, so that way the driver can act, you know, proactively and respectfully to your next move.
Angie, we've got Big Iron coming up. Looking forward to seeing you there. Where are folks going to be able to find you when they come to Big Iron, and are you going to reward them for saying, Angie, I hear you on Weathered Egg and Focus?
Yeah, I would love to. I'd love to. Big Iron, as Bridget knows, is absolutely one of my favorite farm shows. I was just out at Farm Fest. I got back last night, actually, from Farm Fest out in Southwest Minnesota. And I got to say, I love our Big Iron atmosphere, and it's definitely got me excited to see everybody and all the awesome equipment. So we'll be in our NDSU Extension booth. I think we're in the Hartle Ag Building again. So please stop by. You guys know me well enough. I love to visit and love talking farming and ranching. So anytime you come, stop on by, share your story. I think that's what's been really impactful as I've been in this role, as I've got to hear so many pretty powerful stories of individuals that have been impacted by a farmer ranch related injury or unfortunately a fatality. And so the more we can talk openly and have those conversations, I think the stronger we can become in being advocates and working towards preventing those types of injuries and fatalities in agriculture.
And before we let you go, Angie, we've got Oscar on line one. I don't know if Oscar has a question or...
Oh, yes. No, I have something. When you talk about traffic safety, you remember, probably most of you don't know it, North Dakota is the only state in the union that does not have a minimum speed limit on the interstate because When they built Interstate 94, they took sections of old Highway 10 out, so they no longer exist, and farm machinery has to use parts of that interstate to the west of us. So you're driving 75 mile an hour, you're going to catch up to a tractor with a big culvert at 18 mile an hour. I know John Q. Public isn't going to pay attention, but this is one of the deals with North Dakota. Same with 29. They took sections of 81 out and made it part of the interstate, so that's why we don't have a minimum speed limit.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good point. No, I didn't know that, but I do know that when it comes to interstate, and I'd have to look this up because I don't know it off the top of my head. I apologize, but there is you can't just drive farm equipment on the interstate. I think there's a little bit of a process that you have to.
No, but there's sections out. You get past Jamestown out there. There's sections that there's no interchanges and there's no gravel side roads, so the farmers have to bring their tractors and machinery out to get to the next exit. Say they got a farm on the south side of the interstate, but they have to go to the next exit to come around to get back to their fields. Okay, that's why we do not have, I don't live in North Dakota, but I did for many years, but that's why North Dakota doesn't have a minimum speed limit because of that, because of the agriculture, okay? There might be other states that have sections of it, but I don't know where. But I know that's why North Dakota does not have it.
All right. Well,
appreciate it, Oscar. Thanks for calling.
And Andy, I bet this is going to give you a little homework for the future, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, he brings up a good point. And like I said, I definitely know it's, I don't want to say illegal because I don't want to set that up. But I do know on interstate, it's you are not supposed to be taking tractors and implements and transporting, or not necessarily transporting, but driving tractors with implements on interstate. But it would make sense if there's sections that have been removed in order to make that a reality for folks that need to get on interstate to access their field. So definitely, I think it's an interesting piece to look into.
Right. Angie, if anyone wants to get information more about what we've been talking about, things that you guys are planning, up and coming events, and when and where they can find you at Big Iron or anything else, where would you direct them to go to get that information?
Yeah, absolutely. So find your favorite search engine and just type in NDSU Farm and Ranch or Farm Safety, and you'll be able to find my contact information and upcoming events.
Right on. And what was that website again, Angie?
Oh, just if I were you, it's just easier. NDSU Farm and Ranch Safety. Type that into Google or whatever search engine you use, and our site will pop right up.
Awesome, perfect. Well, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Yes, thank you guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Angie.
You as well. Well, we'll get caught up with our sponsors when we come back. Another check on the forecast, a couple ag topics, and if you want to sneak into the program quick, 701-293-9000. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. In fact, just saw a baler on the highway, just as we were talking about with our guest, Angie Johnson, NDSU's Farm and Ranch Safety Specialist. Want to make sure we give a great big thank you as I look at out these cornfields. And a thank you to those who helped our corn for our Here We Grow project, where we're custom farming 20 acres of corn. And those thank yous would go to Pivot Bio, helping provide the right amount of nitrogen for our corn to bring us to a fantastic yield, just as Justin's been hoping for, and also to Fultz Buildings. To the folks at Fultz, you give them a call when you're ready to start building what you need for your dreams, whether that might be the shop-house combination, lake cabin, machinery storage, farm shops, and so much more. Fultz Buildings wants to bring your dreams to reality. And I just want to give a reminder, as I mentioned, our cornfield, we want your guesses for our yield, so please go ahead and send those to us on our Weather and Ag Facebook page, and look forward to seeing us at Big Iron. We're going to ask that you come see us, give us your yield numbers, and then also IntelliFarms. They have a grain gauge giveaway for those who are actively farming, and if you are the closest to yield without going over, we've got a grain gauge for you. So please
come see us at Big Iron so we can make that happen for you. All right, guys, what's the last look on the weather as we get close to enjoying our weekend?
Yeah, well, we'll see improving weather as we head into the upcoming weekend. Still looking at a few scattered showers on radar right now to the southwest of the FM area. They're moving southward, so most of the area should remain dry for the afternoon, but can't rule out an isolated pop-up shower. And then as we head into tonight, we'll clear things out after highs in the 60s today. We'll drop off into the 40s tonight, and then the weekend looks really nice, especially Sunday. But both days pretty decent, as winds will be much lighter. Highs at low to mid-70s Saturday and upper 70s on Sunday. Great weather to get out for Blues Fest as well. That's today and tomorrow out at Newman Field. So, hey, get out and enjoy that. Nothing better than some good music and good weather. Dead silence. All right. Thanks, guys.
Just got to love it, man. No problem. Got to let that one sit there, keep you on your toes for a moment, you know? You thought we were in the clear, and then what happened? Oh, no. What happened?
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to say what might have happened. But, hey, if you are a great singer and you want to get involved with a national anthem contest, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has opened up that contest for the National Anthem Singer at their convention in February, CattleCon 2025 in San Antonio. Get those demo tapes in. You can send them to beef.org, or you can reach out to me, ag@flagfamily.com, and I'll make sure to show you the link where you need to go to send in your audition. Love to have someone from this area representing us sing the National Anthem.
Sure would be pretty sweet. And I think that's about going to wrap up the show, guys. Appreciate everything you guys had to say, and have a great rest of your day, everybody, and a great weekend. Dean, try not to get sick over the weekend, all right, bud? Sounds like a plan. Dean, appreciate the feedback. Bridget, you have yourself a wonderful weekend as well. We're back on Monday, 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Coming up next, number one in the afternoon, that's the Jay Thomas Show. We'll see you next week.